Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
Psalm 119, we're going to pick it up at verse 121 through 149, and we'd have a couple more weeks and we'll be done with this. And I don't mean done with it from the fact that we're just trying to get through it, but I hope that we've learned a lot of things from it, of how God is directing our life. So picking up at verse 121, and you'll read the responding verses. I have done justice and righteousness. Do not leave me to my oppressors. My eyes fail from seeking your salvation and your righteous word.
Deal with your servant according to your mercy, and teach me your statutes.
I am your servant, and give me understanding that I may know your testimonies. Therefore, I love your commandments more than gold, yes, than fine gold.
Yes. Therefore,
your testimonies are wonderful, therefore my soul keeps them. I opened my mouth and panted. I long for your commandments.
Look upon me and be merciful to me, as your husband is toward those who love your name.
Direct my steps by your word, and let not no iniquity have dominion over me. Make your face shine upon your servant and teach me your statutes.
Rivers of water run down from my eyes, because men do not heed your law.
Righteous are you, O Lord, and upright for your are your judgments.
Your testimonies which you have commanded are righteous and very good.
Zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words. I am small and despised, yet I do not forget your precepts.
Your righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and your law is truth.
Trouble and anguish have overtaken me, yet your commandments are my delights. Verse 144 together. The righteousness of your testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, today we're going to talk about just one of those precepts today. But Lord, I believe it would encompass all the things we've talked about. Because Lord, there's a standard, there's a way that you want us to live. And Lord, there's a way you want to direct our lives. And I pray that through the power of your word, Lord, we would redirect ourselves in a way, in a pathway of righteousness. Holy Spirit, be our teacher today. Lord, encompass us, surround us with your love, with your grace, with your mercy, with your power, with your wisdom, with your authority, with your anointing, in the name of Jesus. God, do a great work in all of us. We ask for all these things in the powerful name of Jesus. Everybody shout out, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Go ahead and be seated. One of the things I really love about the Word of God, and there's so many, many things, and actually this has been a wonderful experience for me, just going through Psalm 119. And I hope that by the time we get through this, that there'll be a greater love for the Word of God. And today, the scripture we're going to kind of enhance is going to be Psalm 119, 133. But let me get to an introduction here. First of all, if it hasn't happened to you yet, there's a high probability it will. With more and more things that are turned over to technological. Computerization, digital prompting of computers, and others subject to themselves to the guidance and direction via voice prompts and robotic enhanced movements. In other words, you kind of prompt it, it tells you to move here, move there. You know that lady that talks to you when you're in your, what you call it, the drive thing? You know, when you, yeah, that thing. Sometimes she tells lies. Yes, she does. The girl's confused, but that's another story. Even though the word of God does not resort to the hacking into the command center of your mind, the commandments, and this is the Hebrew word, is called miswath, not misworth, miswath, which means of the word refers to the straight authority of the Lord to give orders and expect them to be obeyed. The Ten Commandments were not 10 suggestions. But remember, that's the old covenant. There's a greater covenant that Jesus talks about. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, and that takes care of all of it. And so I'm going to teach you about that at another time, but today I have some questions for you. First one is this. Which one of the commandments of the Lord do you find it, now watch this, easiest to obey? Anybody bold enough to answer that question for me? Somebody out here. Which is the easiest one for you to obey? Raise your hand right there, my dear. Go ahead. Do not murder. Do not murder? Oh, yeah. You may not murder me with a gun, but honey, there's sometimes you have cut me off forever. Because murder isn't necessarily how you kill people, like take them out. But I tell you, there's some people you have considered as, they might as well be dead. Anybody else want to try? Second question is this. Thank you, dear, for sharing that with us. If there is a struggle that you have with a commandment from the Lord, then where do you believe it comes from? Is it your flesh? Is it the society? Who are you going to blame? The world, the flesh, and the devil. But you know, I think there's some things we're going to learn today that'll absolutely astound you over the idea of really responding to what God really has for us. Number three is this. Does the concept of authority cause you pain or bring you freedom? Authority. That's a tough thing. Ever been riding down the freeway at 65 knowing that it's 55 and all of a sudden a police car gets behind you and you all of a sudden adjust automatically? Oh, yeah, I know you. Lee, I know you are free of that. But something comes over you. A presence comes over you and brings that speedometer down to 55. I don't know what it is. It's the threat of a ticket. Come on now. Today we're going to learn about some things, and I'll get into the scripture now. It says, keeping our steps in alignment with the word. Psalm 119, verse 133 says this, direct my steps by your word, and let no iniquity have dominion over me. You say, you spend the next, 25, 30 minutes telling us about that? Absolutely. Because many times we think our steps are being directed by the Lord, and they're not. They're directed by our emotions. They're directed by circumstances and all kinds of different things. But let's just venture into this and come to this particular agreement. Followers of Jesus must be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us in every way. And we're going to go to Psalm 37, verse 33. This is what it says. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. How do you like that last part? And he delights in his ways. Want to make God happy? Want God to be delighted about you? Just let him order your steps and be willing to take them. It's not by no coincidence. I just happened to think about it as I was doing my study. Psalm 37 was the first message I ever preached as a minister. Now, it was some 56 years ago. Yeah, I know. Somebody said, oh my, how old were you? Lord Jesus, I was 16 years old, and I'll tell you what, some of you would be happy then, because that sermon lasted 20 minutes. It ain't going to happen today, but I will tell you this much. Going through that particular scripture, I learned some things, and I had to rehearse it. It starts off, the scripture starts off, fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious of the wicked. That was kind of something that was kind of a platitude for my life that I learned to function with. But today we're going to expose this to the Word of God. We must be willing to be submissive to respond directly to the commandments of the Lord without reservation. That's the first concept I would get out of that. The second thing I would tell you is living under the authority of the Word of God will reap untold benefits.
Amen.
Just think about it this way. If you could always be law-abiding citizen, we don't have to worry about anything. But there's a temptation within us that we feel like sometimes some of the laws, they just don't appeal to us. It just kind of rains on your parade or whatever you got going on. But what about this? When we respond rightly to the Word of God, there is no need to be fearful. You're afraid of nothing. Well, we can say order our steps, but let's look at it this way. Willing submission to the Word of God will bring freedom from guilt and condemnation. Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. This is a good place. There is therefore now, read that word for me, no, to those who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. If you're feeling condemned right now, I can tell you why. Because you're not walking according to the Spirit of God. Oh, I just go, I don't like going to church, and I just feel so condemned. Really? And you tried to stop, but you couldn't, or you wouldn't. But then he says a little bit more about this. But according to the Spirit, for the law of the Spirit of Christ, Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and of death. Wouldn't you like to be free from any type of boundaries of the law, as it were? In Jesus, you are. And the Old Covenant, the New Covenant, I don't have time to even get into that. It's another whole teaching. But I will tell you this much. Condemnation can only hold us hostage if we're living our lives according to the covering of the atonement, living out from underneath the covering of the atonement of the blood of Christ. There's not anything you've done, said, or will do that the blood of Christ cannot cover. But you've got to be able to apply the blood to it. But the only way you can apply the blood to it is being willing to repent of the thing that keeps you from out from under God's covenant. You can't get right without repentance. Ever said that phrase, oh, God knows my heart? Oh, honey, that's a dangerous phrase. Yes, he does. And the Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? And sometimes we don't even know our own heart. Because oftentimes the things that we think that are good aren't. And we have made decisions that have alienated us from others, and especially from God. Well, our life in Christ sets us free from the words that would cater to the flesh. And sin and death have no power over the Word of God that lives in the heart of faithful believers. Now, isn't it interesting, as we're going about, that all of a sudden, as we're reading the Word of God, we're about to do something, but the Holy Spirit will bring that Word of God to us, and it will just caution us, saying, do you really want to do that? Perfect love casts out all fear. But the Holy Spirit will just kind of question you on that. And oftentimes, you may read the scripture later on, but the Holy Spirit will prompt you toward the Word of God of something that will tell you, don't go there. That's the Lord ordering our steps. Our obedience to the commandments of the Lord will energize our faith to fulfill them, which means this. To delight in obedience is a work of the Holy Spirit as we surrender our will to Him. Now, this is the big piece. How do you surrender your will? Ever dealt with any obstinate kids? Now, we used to call them, I know I'm older, so we used to call them hard-headed. And Grandma used to say, you got a head hard as a hignet. And whatever a hignet is, it must be hard. I don't know. I've never met a hignet, so I don't know what it is. But people, when they say a person's hard-headed, it means that you can get hit on your head and feel like, oh, it's okay, I'm okay, I'll recover. Really? But not in the same state you were before you got hit. A little damage. I got to go on. Jesus says these things. Obedience to the commandments of the Lord will energize our faith toward Him. Jesus said this, His yoke is easy and His burden light. How many of you believe that? The rest of you need healing. And I'll tell you why some of you didn't immediately raise your hand, because there's a question in our spirit that oftentimes is put there by the enemy. Because his yoke is easy, burden is light. I don't know where the Bible, but I don't know about you, but I'll tell you, it's a struggle every day of my life. If that is your confession, you're operating, unfortunately, under the illusion of your flesh that says you can make it and you don't need Jesus. Or you don't need the Holy Spirit. Or you'll gut it through. That won't work. The arm of the flesh will deceive you. Well, and here's about this. We must believe the word of God before we can act upon it. And here's an interesting thing about that. You can read scripture, and like we've been reading through the Bible all this time, but if you come to a point of saying, yeah, gee, that's great, but I don't really know whether I believe that or not. I'll just have to just put that on hold, and maybe someday I'll believe that. That is the strongest trick of the enemy, is for you to put on hold a commandment that the Lord says that you can fulfill, not in your flesh, but by the power of the Spirit. And I'm going to help you with that in the next few moments, because there's something that we need to transition into in the power of the Spirit. How about this? When we are confronted by a word of truth, we must take action through submission to it. Now, that's a big statement. Let me show how this works in a positive way. This is what Jesus said. Here's a phrase that you'll remember that Jesus said. Jesus said, come to me. Is that? Somebody finish the phrase for me. All you who are and heavy, and I. So that means when you're stressed out, when you're weary, when you're broke down, you can go to Jesus. He says, all you are weary and heavy laden, and what's going to happen? Jesus is going to give you rest. But you know what our problem is? We don't believe that, so we don't go to Jesus. We go to Fatuda or whatever that stuff is. There's all kinds of things on TV. I can't remember all. My wife was keeping track of all the various remedies. How many are there? 38 that you've got to, 38 or 40 or whatever, that will help you kind of adjust yourself. So you don't have to go to Jesus. Just take a pill. You'll be good. But what does this mean? How about this one? Jesus says to you, rise and walk. You know what your answer is to Jesus? I have been here for 38 years, and you're going to tell me I'm going to get up and walk. Some of us are paralyzed in a predicament that we believe is the reality of what we'll always be. The steps of a good man, yeah, they're order of the Lord, but when the Lord says, that means there's action that has to be taken. But we have to, when the Lord is going to reorder our steps in a way we've never gone before, we have to trust his word to take us where we've never been before. I have a teaching for you in a few weeks that I think will help you with this. But I will tell you, the idea behind it today is, he says, rise up and walk. Or how about this one? This is a big one. He says to this woman, go your way and sin no more. Oh boy. That's a handful. What does Jesus mean by that? I'm going to help us, hopefully, to kind of unpack that one, because that's one of those scriptures where you kind of look at it and say, well, Jesus couldn't be serious. Let's put it in context. A lady was caught red-handed in an adulterous situation. And the Lord, and people want to stone her. They want to get rid of her. The law of Moses says she needs to be stoned. And all those who were condemning her, they're around there, they're, you know, they're saying, yeah, the law of Moses says, yeah, stone her, he needs to die, this type of thing. And Jesus writes in the dirt telephone numbers and addresses of their girlfriends. Oh, yes, he did. Lola Mae, Bomb Bomb, Diana, you know. Maybe your Bible, I mean, maybe not quite like that, but. And Jesus says to her, where are the people that condemn you? And she kind of looks down like, they all left. He says, neither do I condemn you. But here's how you unpack that. Go your way and sin no more means, if you don't appreciate the condemnation that you've been under, I will empower you that you don't have to be condemned any longer. I will give you the power to resist sin so you don't have to suffer from that ever again. Which means that you get an opportunity to have your steps ordered of the Lord, the steps of a righteous person ordered of the Lord. Every time I have sinned, it's because I've gone contrary to what the Lord told me to do. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Every time you have sinned, you have gone contradictory to what the Lord has told you to do or what the Word of God has specifically told you not to do. That is not rocket science. So what we're trying to do is to bring ourselves under the obedience to Christ without being condemned or like being robotically challenged as far as that goes. We disrupt and paralyze the power of the devil through our obedience to the Word of God. That seems pretty relevant. Or when we act upon the word, the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit invades our life. At the end of this message, I can't wait to get to the end. I'm going to race to it because there's something powerful going to happen to several of us today. And I'm excited about that. Well, we must resolve what we want is what God wants for us. Let me rephrase that. We got to resolve whether what we want is what God wants for us. The two could be totally different. Okay, let me help you with that. Girl, he is fine. Ooh, I would love to have him. Jesus, help him to notice me. Really? I'm not just going to pick on the girls. That's a sweet sugar mama there. What must I do to get her attention? Amen. And some of you got him or her, and it's the worst thing that ever happened to you. You got to learn to want what God wants for you. And I'll tell you what, many of you, your picker is broke. Toe up from the floor up. That's where your problem is. Back to the message. Calm down. When we act upon the word of God, things can happen. But what about this? We must resolve whether we want what God wants. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is great. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Let me stop right there. Understanding is a relative term. And throughout our lives, we gain understanding from the people that we're around, from culture, from the dynamics of our family. I give you a whole number of things that will cause your understanding to be of such a nature that things that you become used to. Okay? This is the way we did it in our household. And everyone has a cultural difference of the way things are done or understood or perceived. But I need to take you to this. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. The key to the thing is trust in the Lord with all your heart. There are some things that you have to trust God for that you have not experienced yet. But you have to trust God that his word will be good enough to take you through that experience beyond what you have learned in your natural life. Because there's some things that are not, they're just not there. I'm thankful for the household that I did grow up in. To be honest with you, my dad was a very poor example of how to treat a woman. And we'll leave it at that. So I needed Jesus and Jesus and other people to show me how to treat a woman or my wife, my one and only wife. Thank you very much. She stuck it out for 42 years. It's only by the grace of God, but that's okay. My thought process in this is I needed things. I couldn't lean to my own understanding because my understanding was zero. But when I had to trust the Lord to show me how to be the man that God wanted me to be. I am not perfect. I've made my mistakes. But I know that God has covered me in that particular area. And some of you, there struggle with the fact, well, you know, I had a bad example here and this and that. I said, will you stop whining and start trusting God?
Amen.
And he'll fill in the blanks. Somebody say amen, okay?
Amen.
Now, here's the deal. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Remember, we're getting our steps ordered by God. In all your ways, not in some of your ways. You know, he said, oh, God, I got this. Yeah, you got it. Messed it up. Take that out of your vocabulary when you're talking to God. Said, God, what do I do with this? Not, Lord, I got this. Fan the flames, Jesus. In order for your steps to be ordered of the Lord, we must trust his commandments and directives. How about this? Our total buy-in to the commandments of the Lord will result in a walking in confidence toward the things that God has set before us. For us. Confidence is an interesting word we're going to study in just a few moments. But our power to walk with confidence in the word is solidified in the finished works of Jesus on the cross. Now we're going to go into this and learn a little bit about contentment. We can delight in the commandments of the Lord that lead to contentment and fulfillment. Philippians 4 verses 10 through 13. I love this because we're going to find some things about us to see how content we are. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me has flourished again. You'll put that again and store that away. We'll revisit that in a moment. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned that in whatever state I am to be content. Let's stop right at that verse. I want to talk to every person in this room that's discontent. Oh, Pastor, I'm fine. I'm happy with my house. I'm happy with my car. I'm happy with my husband and my wife. You're a fair ID lie.
That's right.
Because how come you treat them the way you do? Contentment is not complacency. Contentment is realizing that God is in control of me first, and circumstances come beyond God's control over my life. But we want to put circumstances before contentment, and you're going to have some problems, and your steps will be all over the place. Well, what about this goes? The key to delighting in the steps directed by the word is contentment. Contentment is a decision that is rooted in gratitude and the joy of appreciation. Say amen.
Amen.
But you know what? The one thing that God's got to get out of our life is ingratitude. Some of you believe you deserve better than what you got right now. If I just waited, somebody better than you would have come along, but I'm okay now. I'm going to ride it out in Jesus' name. Well, God bless you. Let me move on because I could spend a whole day with that one. Our level of contentment should never be what regulates our level of submission to the will of God. We submit to the will of God, and contentment automatically comes over our heart because we know that he will do everything that's good concerning you. God has never, never shortchanged you on anything. Now, if you believe, hey, you know, I asked him for this and he never gave it to me, so God must not like, really? Let me give you a little bit more that will help you support that. Our obedience to the word of God will always be a testimony to the level of contentment of being founded in the center of his will. Now, I'll unpack that further in just a moment. But being in the center of his will doesn't mean you're always going to get what you want. The way you want it or when you want it. So what does it mean? Well, I'll tell you one thing for sure. Discontent will lead you directly into sin. Because you'll try to find contentment outside of the will of God, and I guarantee you the devil will help you. But it'll be out of God's will. Wow. Here we go. When God moved his people out of Egypt, there was a greater work to be done by them taking necessary steps to get Egypt out of themselves. Exodus chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. I don't have time to go through the whole story, but I'll give you this much of it. And the journey to Elam and all the congregation of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin. Oh, isn't that interesting? Wilderness of Sin. How'd that happen? Which is between Elam and Sinai. On the 15th day of the second month after they departed from the land of Egypt. Do the math. 15th day of the second month. About 45 days? Are we good? Something like that? Okay, 45 days. Wow. Then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Go to the next line, please. And the children of Israel said to them, "Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat with pots of meat and we ate bread to the full, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." That's crazy. But I'll tell you what, 45 days out, they're saying, "Oh, God's out to get us." Don't criticize them. Look at ourselves. I'll look at myself. Whether you believe it or not, you have a time frame that you've given to God as to when he needs to perform to get certain things done. Otherwise, you'll start doing this. "Oh, I wish I'd never really signed on this thing with God. I mean, my life was miserable. It wasn't as miserable as this." Because I remember when I was with my homie friends, we could go out and do something, but right now I can't do nothing. Discontent. When the Lord is ordering our steps, he will not always lead us to the place that we thought we would be. Don't raise your hands for this one. Just raise your hearts. Please don't raise your hands. How many of you are right now in the place where you thought you'd be at this age, at this time, in this experience in your life? Do not raise your hand. In your spirit. How many of you are content that God has you or the Holy Spirit has you where you are right this moment? Don't raise your hand. But I just want you to think about that for a moment. Because the reason why the Word of God just can't get through to us, there's a barrier of discontent, and until God fixes this, I'm not going to do that. "Ooh, I know this is rough, and I'm not done yet." The Lord will deliver us from what we believe to be normal to what is new. Because that your normal wasn't serving you well, but you may be in a new experience right now. But you know what? God, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. I've been to several foreign countries, and one of the things I learned after several trips over there, being weird, a weird American, so I go over there and say, "Boy, this is weird. They do things so strange over here. What's wrong with these people? They got all this stuff done." And once this missionary got in my face, he says, "Don't you ever say that again." I wanted to slap him, but I didn't, in Jesus' name. He said, "What do you mean?" He says, "Just because it's different doesn't mean it's wrong. Just because you're used to having it done this way doesn't mean that your way is the right way. When your steps are being ordered by the Lord, whatever way he takes you, whatever route he takes you on is the route you're supposed to be on. You need to stop complaining and go the way that God is taking you." Well, we must be careful not to desire what is familiar over what will require us to engage with faith. You know, brother, please do not speak out. If you need to leave, that's perfectly fine. But I don't need competition. That's okay. Ushers, please help him out. Give him some help. Thank you. That's all right. Come on, let's pray for him right now in Jesus' name. God bless this man. Help him. Strengthen him in Jesus' name. God, do your work. Do your work, God. You're going to do a great work. That's okay. Come on. In the name of Jesus, come on, no, put your focus over here. Don't put your focus down there. That's okay, that's okay. Come on, just intercede. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus is here. Jesus, in the name of Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your wisdom. In the name of Jesus. Come on, get your focus on the Lord. Don't focus on what the enemy's trying to do. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on, give the Lord a big hand. In the name of Jesus. Glory to your name, Lord God. Glory to your name, Lord God. You're a good God. You're a great God. You're a magnifying God. Come on. Come on. Come on. Just come on. Stand to your feet right now. Stand up right now. Just begin to worship God. Come on. Come on. Don't let the devil do what he's trying to do. Don't let the devil do it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Now give the Lord a big hand right now. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. Go ahead and be seated. Hallelujah. We must be careful not to desire what is really over what will require us to engage in faith. Now, let me just get to this place about Paul. This is an amazing story. Contentment is something that we choose to have over what would be more convenient. When Paul wrote that scripture in Philippians 4:12, let me read that for you. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He says, I've walked in some tough places. When Paul is talking about contentment, Paul's in jail. Paul's in shackles. Paul's doing the worst thing. Most of y'all have not been in jail. Notice I said most. Some of us have a tour with a constable and we worked it out. Well, he's writing this from jail while he's in chains. And he's not presumptive that God will not allow us to endure suffering as a result of our obedience to his command for us, of us. Isn't that interesting? If you think he's going to kind of sail through these things and not be incarcerated or something like this, we've got a wrong idea because we were so blessed in America to have all these different rights and, you know, whatever, freedom of speech, et cetera, et cetera. But let me hasten on. Even though Paul, being bound in chains, they did not affect him fulfilling the calling of God over his life. Consider this. Paul was living under the commandment of the Lord and refused to let bitterness toward his situation taint the effect of the word of God, which was directed his steps while in prison. No matter what you're going through, don't give up. Where you are right now, where it may feel like you're in prison, don't give up. This next scripture here will help you. Verse 10 says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me has flourished again, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. You know what that statement is there? Is it just like anyone else, Paul was thinking, you know, why hasn't anybody come to see me? Why doesn't anybody help me? But then he resolves it in the scripture. He says, but I rejoice in greatly now that last your care for me flourished. He's heard something from them. And though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Ever get it wrong when you thought people didn't care about you and then you found out later on that they really did? And you had to repent of that attitude? I know none of that's never happened to you because you got it right. It happens to me, you know. But he refused to be bitter and resentment displaced the gratitude that he had for those folks. He chose to believe that the opportunity was only a hindrance that kept his needs from being met. And Paul believed the Lord had orchestrated everything that had happened to work good on his behalf. Everything as a believer that's happening in your life, God's going to cause it to work for good. For we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love the Lord and are called to his purposes. I want you to say it with me. It's good. I may not understand it, but it's still good. God's working it out for me. I may not see it, but I believe it. Come on, give God a shout. Say amen. Well, some of the commandments we receive from the Lord will require us to walk in faith to believe that in spite of our present circumstances, God's in control. Hebrews 12:1-2. I'm almost there. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Hold your hands up like this. And do it like this. That means you're going to shake it off. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Come on. Well, contentment does not mean complacency. We do not have to downplay our disappointments, but rather embrace them as opportunities to grow. I know people who quit the church because they got sick and nobody called them. No, they didn't tell nobody they were sick, but nobody called them. You should have the gift of sermon. You should have known I was on my deathbed. Nobody called me. I got a word from you. Three words. Get over it. In Jesus' name. Disappointment should not define you, but rather qualify you to further identity with the joy of Jesus. You want to talk about disappointment? You're about to die. You take your homies with you to go pray with you in the garden. They're cutting Z's. And he wakes them up. Could you watch with me for just 1 hour? Goes, oh, yeah. We got this. Jesus comes back again. Guess what they're doing? Yeah. Sweet. Just because we fall doesn't mean we have failed. Psalm 37, 24. This is talking about you, talking about me. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. If you have fallen down, remember that lady, I'm falling, I can't get up. God bless her. Though he falls, not if he falls, he shall not be utterly cast down. In other words, that is not your final definement of who you are. He promised to never leave us, to sustain us when we fall. His hand will sustain us and not let go. Do you know the part that says this? For the Lord upholds him. No, leave that scripture there. I'm sorry. Put the scripture back if you can, please. For the Lord upholds him with his hand. You may have fallen, but God hadn't let go. I tripped before when I was a little kid, and Mama still had a hold of my hand. Now, me got a little skinned knee, but you know Mama had a hold of my hand. It could have been a whole lot worse. God is not going to let go of you. As a matter of fact, he's got a hold of you right now. Somebody say hallelujah, because that's right. Glory to God. Well, we're in the home stretch now. His hand will sustain us, not let go of us. Shame and guilt cannot overcome us because he will never leave us. Here's the last couple of scriptures here. The Lord, the word of God, continually illuminates our path. Worship team, you can make your way up here because I have three scriptures I'm going to do. Make your way up here. The light of the word will continually expose the traps and the snares of the enemy. John 1, verses 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. God will lighten up your path so you'll be able to, you know, recover from that fall. Or what about this? We must stay off the pathway that leads to darkness. Proverbs 2, 12 and 13. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. But he's the one whose light, the light shines in darkness. In darkness, God will have a light in your pathway to take you through the darkness. How about this last one? We choose to daily walk in the path that leads to life. 1 John 1, verses 5 through 9. Here's where some of you may be today. This is a message which we've heard from the and declared to you that God is light and there's no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another in the blood of Jesus Christ, cleanses us from how much sin? Get down to verses 8 and 9 and we're done. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God gave me a couple of prophetic statements. Matter of fact, I'll take this down there with me. You know, when it talks about God ordering our steps, I want to talk to some folks as we're closing. Bow your heads with me. I'm going to say these things while your heads are bowed. Maybe we'll give you how to respond. First of all, I want to address the things that you're just not sure of. Saying, God, how's God going to order my steps? How's God going to work this out? If you want to walk with God, there's a couple things that the Lord just reminded me that needs to happen. Here they are. Number one, commitments that you need to break off and walk away from. If your steps are going to be ordered of the Lord, the Holy Spirit is telling you right now, there's some things you need to cut off, some relationships you need to cut off right now in order for you to walk the way that God wants you to walk. Just let that resonate with you for a moment. And the last statement is this. There are some things that need to be restored. If your steps are going to be ordered of the Lord, there's things that you threw away that you need to put back in your life. Let me pray. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Remember, things need to be restored. Other things you need to walk away from today. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we had a demonstration a few moments ago of someone who couldn't sit under the auspices of your word. Lord, I don't judge him, but I know this much, that the truth of your word is this. Our steps are ordered by you. And there's some things that we've allowed in our lives or situations or even persons that we need to walk away from today in order for our steps to be truly ordained of you. God, give us the grace to acknowledge that. Give us the grace to say, today, Lord, I'm taking the path that you want me to be on. And in Jesus' name, I'm going to walk differently. I'm going to walk away from that which has held me in bondage. If that's you, stand to your feet right now. Stand up saying, I need to walk away. That's right. Thank you. Someone else says, I need to walk away. It's time to walk away. Thank you very much. Just remain standing for a moment. Just stand. If that's you, you need to walk away from it. Stand up right now. Because God wants to restore your soul in ways. Now, there's other folks that would say this particular thing. There's things that need to be restored in your life that the enemy has taken away. You're saying, I believe God can restore the things that have been taken out of my life. And I want God to restore the things that the enemy's taken from me. If that's you, stand up right now. You want to restore it? Stand up right now. Stand up right now. Stand up right now. Stand up right now. Stand up right now in Jesus' name. Because God's got something for you. Just remain standing for a moment. We're all going to stand. But those of you who are standing right now, I want to invite you to the altar in just a moment. And people are going to pray with you. And whether it's something needs to be taken away or something needs to be restored, God's going to do that today. Everyone stand. You that are standing right now, come to this altar here. Let us pray with you. Come on. Come on in Jesus' name. Come. In Jesus' name. Come on. Come on. That's right. Would you lift your hands with me, everybody? Everybody. Lord, our hands are lifted and our hearts as well. Lord, our steps, we want them to be ordered of the Lord, not only just today, but for the rest of our lives. Lord, endow us with the Holy Spirit who would guide us in your way, which is perfect. Let your grace and order our steps. And at the times when we would get off the pathway, Lord, remind us, oh God, of your goodness, of your grace, of your mercy, who has sustained us up to this moment. Lord, help us to walk in truth, in love, in compassion, and understanding toward those who have yet to know you. We thank you for these things. We give glory and honor to you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.